This is Central Division. I'm David Coggins with my good friend Michael Williams. It's the 8th episode of our show. We talk about drinking. Hope you like it. Thanks.
David Coggins.
Hey, Michael. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. Coming back at you from Manhattan. I know you're not in Los Angeles. You're mysterious West Coast location.
I'm near Palm Springs, you know. I'm still here. It's getting better. Every day the weather gets better. It's going to be like a beautiful winter. You know,
and the idea,
I'm not going back to LA, you know. Eventually I will.
You're out of LA, you're near Palm Springs, where there are about 80,000 golf courses, and you've got a black cast on your on your power hand.
Did we talk about this? No earth tones available, you know, in cast selection.
I didn't choose earth tones. Earth tones chose me. I suddenly realized all my clothes were brown. I don't know why.
You love brown.
I do like it. For a long time, I was suspicious of it. And then I realized, I think there's a really interesting thing when you finally realize you like something way after you've liked it, because you didn't want to admit you liked a band or you liked Riesling or you liked a car or you liked something. And then all of a sudden you're like, wait a minute, I love brown.
And do you only ship UPS because of that?
It's funny. It's like I like it in a less corporate way, I think. I like it in the way that there's something about the color brown or brown clothing that could almost not be allowed. Like, you rarely see it in ready-to-wear clothing because most people have some objection to it, or at least the designers think people have an objection to it. But in fact, brown is flattering for many people.
Do you feel like it's hard to wear? I mean, not for you. I mean, in general, is that why there's like a conception that
I think that a lot of things, this, I was not expecting to discuss this, but I think a lot of things have to do with what people think other people will want, and the fact in men's clothing that men will not try clothes on. So if you actually get something on a man, I mean, the joke is that the hardest thing in retail is to get men to try on pants, because most men would rather buy the incorrect size and just, they have no problem going back to return them, but they will not go into the changing room and put on pants. How long ago that seems.
I don't think like changing rooms, I mean, this isn't really a problem now, but changing rooms generally aren't comfortable. Like, do you remember that? And I'm sure it's the same now. I don't know if Todd updated it, but the liquor store changing room was so awkward.
It kind of felt like you worked there, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, someone was going to be like, hey, while you're in there, can you bring out a pair of Aldens and an 8.5? I think someone else. Like, it was kind of a storage space at the same time, which I liked. Obviously, it was probably the old restroom for the bar. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't designed as a retail space. You know, it's funny.
Did you ever go in that bar, or did you ever go in there before it was a store?
I walked by it on a regular basis and was always frightened of it, because for people who don't know, the liquor store before it was a J. Crew store was a bar on that corner in Tribeca, and it was open really late, and it was so exposed to the corner. It wasn't like a dive bar in the sense that you went in and you had no idea what was going on. You could totally see in what was going on, and that kept me away, because that place was not
enough privacy.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a famous, you would never go there anyway, because there's a famous Minnesota Vikings bar very close to there, right?
Oh my God, there is. Nancy Whiskey, the thing is that, in my case, misery doesn't love company, so I try not to go around other people suffering through the same thing that my team is suffering through. But that was also weird, because I didn't realize, and I wonder if this is true of other people, how that there are themed bars within a city that I hung out at places and didn't realize there was a Steelers bar in New York. Obviously nearby, though, there is this ridiculous Packers bar, which drives me nuts. Very close to where I live, and they line up outside, or at least they used to, on Christopher Street.
And they're loyal.
Oh my goodness, they're loyal.
They're into it.
But it is funny about, I actually went into, what a strange world we live in. I happened to be in Midtown last week, Manhattan, and needed to use a men's room. This is a little personal, but I ended up in Saks Fifth Avenue, speaking of changing rooms. So I walked into Saks. I don't know if I've been in Saks in, I don't know, 10 years between, you know, as you get older, between 2 and 12 years, you can't really tell when it is. And I went up to the men's floor walking around. It was really quite nice. There's absolutely nobody there except for people who work there. And yeah, there was the men's lounge, which was very spacious. It was very relaxing. And there they had charging stations. I could have charged my phone.
What's the restroom situation like? We don't care about the store. What are the facilities like?
Facilities are great. I highly recommend anybody in Midtown, if you happen to be there, you check out the overpriced Gucci sneakers, and you can use the facilities.
I think as a New Yorker, you start to, in every sort of zone, you start to get a place where you know there's access to a bathroom, and that's kind of like you can't operate outside of that. So I had a long running joke with a woman that worked with me for a long time that I was going to start a company called, I think it was, can't remember the name I was going to call it,
but you have the domain already.
let me just go, hold on. Let me log into GoDaddy real quick and just check the domain. The concept was it's a members club, but all it is clean bathrooms, you know, and you could just key card access in with your phone. So sure, just clean bathrooms all over the United States, you know, and you just pay your monthly service fee and that's it. That's a great concept.
I feel like every city has the thing that they need. If you're in LA, you probably know a good gas station in every neighborhood or a place that you like. Or if you're in Manhattan, like I know restrooms and bars in most neighborhoods and even a place to eat. But I think it probably changes.
You kind of have to. I mean, the bar thing is like, I'm going to meet someone for a drink. Where are you? Okay. Yeah. You're Hell's Kitchen, you know, like, okay, what's the or even lunch. It's like Esca. You know, like if someone's like, I'm in Hell's Kitchen.
Nice call.
Yeah, let's go to Esca. That's like or it's like you just end up having that one place, right?
Nothing sounds better to me than a grilled, you know, in salt stripe, you know, sea bass for two, market price. You find out it's like twice as much as you thought it was for lunch. Like that, I would love to be overcharged right now. If I could have a lunch out somewhere, it just sounds amazing.
And yeah, that does sound nice.
How did we get into the 220? I don't care. Like, I'll never complain again about.
How about this? Esca is like an amazing pre-theater place too.
I like it.
You know, and that, I mean, how much would you even kill for that? Like, nice early dinner.
I love it.
Yeah. That's actually a nice segue. We're going to talk a little bit about booze today, yeah, right? Wine, drinking. So I'm not drinking. It's been 2 weeks now because I broke my hand. I thought, well, I'm not going to drink because I was told at some point that it's just poison. So it's bad. You know, if you're trying to heal, don't drink. But I've actually been, you know, my doctor. not the hand doctor. When I hurt my knee, my doctor was like, don't drink while you're healing. So, which was hard, and it's harder now with the pandemic on, but you're drinking at the moment.
I am.
What are you drinking?
I drink, you know, it's still warm here. So I'm on Riesling time. I mean, to me, that's
of Riesling season. There's really only 3 months that shut down. I thought if you had a fire and posted an Instagram of it, then then the Rieslings have to go away.
I can't drink Riesling by the fire, but I can drink Riesling. It usually begins when the Masters begins. And now because the Masters have been pushed back, I can go until November 15th. Now, it's to me, that's a daytime drink and a 60 degrees or warmer drink and a low alcohol drink. I like the idea that I connect it to a certain time and that or a certain season. And I think most food I like and most wine and spirits really I like when it connects to a time of the year.
Yeah, that's nice. You like drinking, you know, a specific beer when you're in Wisconsin or
right. Or whiskey as it gets, you know, scotch seems like something you drink.
Do you drink a lot of brown spirits?
Not as much as I used to. It gets a little bit, you know, you're trying to do different things at different times in your life. I mean, I think I don't drink when I'm in, you know, I don't go to as many bars as I used to, but having nothing to do with the pandemic, I think to me, drinking is something you do at a certain time of day. There's a progression. You drink wine with dinner, maybe at 6 o'clock, you have a little cocktail or something, but
what do you think about wine at lunch?
Well, I mean, I believe if you have a good meal, there's no good meal without wine.
I would say that.
And so if I'm having lunch with in a restaurant, I would always have a glass of wine if it was a real restaurant. If it's some sort of nonsense, I wouldn't. And I wouldn't take a place seriously that didn't serve wine.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And if you're in Europe, you know, and you're having lunch in Europe, you can drink wine with your meal. It's perfectly normal.
Right. The harder part is you have to read who you're with. And if you look at the wine, nobody wants to be the first person to say, so are we having wine?
I actually don't agree with that. I always just say, I'm going to be having a glass of whatever. Join in if you feel like it. If not, don't feel bad. You know?
I like it.
And I think that's, I don't know. What do you think about a ice cube in a glass of wine?
Well, you know, it's so funny. We talk a lot about rules of dressing and when you can break them. And naturally, when I was a young man, I was adamantly against this idea. And then as I got older, and I don't know if it was because I didn't care as much or I drank more, I was in situations where the white wine was bad, like art openings or any time where wine
is sweet.
I would just put ice in it.
Yeah, I do the same thing.
And I think if it's the summer and you're talking about any wine that's $15 or less, put it in there. It doesn't matter. I used to talk to Glenn O'Brien about that, and he loved the white wine spritzer. He said that's how the Romans drank, and it was good for them. But I remember going to it was at an art opening, and I went to the bartender, some handsome caterer type, and I said, "Can I?" Kind of whispering, "Can I have a glass of white wine and just put a little ice in there?" And he said really loud, "Here's your white wine spritzer, sir." I'm like, quiet. I don't want anyone to talk about it. It's a drink that dare not speak its name. So let's keep this between you and me, handsome Paula.
You've been listening to a free preview of Central Division. To hear the rest of this episode and to read all of our stories, go to centraldivision.substack.com to learn more. Central Division is a newsletter and a podcast from David Coggins and Michael Williams, where we talk about men's style, travel, wine, fly fishing, and other topics that interest us. You can read the newsletter and listen to the rest of the podcast at centraldivision.substack.com. Thank you so much.